Good morning, everyone. All right, so we're actually gonna not talk about that particular topic today. We're actually gonna talk about the wilderness test again. I should have gave you advance information. I apologize, sir. We've been talking about the wilderness test for the last few weeks. That's been our something that the Lord's actually been ministering in guy talk, girl talk, one-on-one talk, me and my wife, friends talk, family talk, everybody talk. And what we have to talk about today, I think, really, really, really bless us, at least from what God was telling me. So our foundational scripture, as we've been talking about the wilderness test, has been Deuteronomy 8:2. And it says, the Lord God brought thee through the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, so that I would know what's in thy heart, whether thou will keep his commandments or not. I thought it was interesting, Minister Jackie, how you hit the parable of the virgins, you know, and you was talking about how there's some that was consistent, you know, and so when he came, they was ready. But some was playing around. When he came, they wasn't ready. But it's the same thing. Like, we're going through the wilderness to see who would keep his commandments. Even when you cross over into the promised land, will your default be to keep his commandments, or will, now that you got what you want, will you leave God, right? And so we talked about, we're not going to get too deep into too much of a review, because we can always get the CDs. They don't cost nothing, or the website or SoundCloud or what have you. So we've talked about humility, being purged from our own understanding. Humility and meekness. We talked about proving, being purged from that which is familiar, their understanding. So God took Abraham out of familiar, from his family, from his kindred, so to a place where he would have to just listen to God, right? And not them. Listen to him and not them. And then we got into awareness. I don't know if we got into it last Sunday, but we did get into a Wednesday. And that's purged from missed understanding. So being purged from when you're in a wilderness and God wants you to be aware of stuff, what he does is he purges you from denial, he purges you from deception, and he purges you from desperation. So he purges you from denial, because see, sometimes like we live this life where we're really not embracing reality. And he purges you from deception, because you can, scripture says you could deceive yourself in James chapter 1. Then you have to be recovered from yourself, right? In 2 Timothy 2. So he wants to deliver you from deception. Like, see, who said this? Brooklyn said this yesterday with, and don't let me forget to acknowledge the Air Force team, but she said this yesterday at the Air Force Fellowship for the Youth. She was like, what she realized is she's learning stuff for herself, and some of the different things that youth are challenged with. We talked about peer pressure yesterday. She says she's not challenged with those things, but she realized there are other people challenged. And so her challenge is to make sure she's impacting the other people, you know, so they can benefit like you're being benefited from, right? And so it's the same thing, like, there's a level of deception, and God loves us so much, he won't leave us there. You know, there is a level of denial, God won't leave us there. You know how humans, we be leaving people. Be like, they just in denial. You know, they, because, and what are you really saying when you say that? You're saying, I'm straight. That fool about to mess up everything, you know, right? Or deception, be like, oh, they delusional. And desperation, you know, a lot of times you run from the desperate person because they're needy, you know, and it's kind of like, here they come again, you know, like, so, but God wants to deliver us from that when he takes us to the awareness stage of the wilderness. And the scripture talks about, there was a situation where Peter was in denial. Like, Peter was talking about what he would do. Jesus was talking about he was leaving. Matthew 26, I'll give you the scriptures. I'm just going to go over it for the sake of time because we talked about that last week. It's like I keep moving, right? Matthew 26, verse 34 and verses 69 through 75. Verse 34 and 69 75. So you got a situation where, all right, so for this conversation, since I'm the narrator, I'm going to be Jesus. You're going to be Peter, right? Right, So I'm Jesus, and I'm talking about, well, you know, I'm about to go through some things, and when I go through some things, a lot of y'all going to just run. Y'all saying you with me now, but when I go through my final testing, a lot of y'all going to flee because y'all worrying about what I'm going to deal with is if it's going to happen to you. So you're going to flee before they get to you. Because they're going to be persecute me, but you're like, well, I don't want to be attached to them. They may just get all of us because we together. Right? So Peter over here go, oh, please, dude. I'm with you no matter what. I'm down with you, Jesus. So I roll to Peter go, oh, no. Before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. So this fool grabs me and go, no. Yeah, like almost like Master No, like, man, get behind me, Satan. You're not Satan, but just for the example. Right? So now what's happening? He really believes what he said, right? He really believes, no, I'm with you. Like, the test ain't happened yet though, right? He's making a decision based on what? How he feels in the moment. Now there's some things that he's aware of about himself, but there's stuff he's not aware of. And he's not aware of what's in him that won't be able to pass that test that I'm going through. Like he can stay with me now because it's pretty all good gravy. Now I'm healing 5,000, 7,000, 10,000. You know, I'm spitting on clay, making people heal. So you rolling with your dog like, yeah, I'm with him. You know, every time I do a miracle, you like, yeah, you trying to photobomb, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm laying hands and you in there like, you know, like you was a part of the miracle, right? But yeah, it's looking on my shoulder, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is, oh, enjoy yourself now. Cause when the heat's really on, it's going to really test where you are. Nah, man, come on, man. Whatever. Jesus, I'm rolling with you. But when the test came, young lady was like, you was with Jesus, right? He said, no, not me. Peter had a little more like, because he had to convince you. Now, Jesus. Jesus, is he from Cairo? I don't know Jesus. So he get away from that one, cause he playing stupid. Like y'all do at the job sometime. Christian? No, I'm not Christian. No. No, I'm rolling with you, dog. Then he goes to warm his hands, hanging out with folk. Young lady go, oh, no. Whoa, I'm trying to tell you, that dude was with Jesus. You got me twisted, girl. So he acting crazy, so she definitely think it ain't him. Then, hold on a second, man. The guy that he cut his ear off in the garden, he pulled out a sword, whipped that, cut that dude's ear off, and Jesus put the ear back on. So that guy, come on now, you just cut my ear off, man. Look, dude, you the guy to cut my ear off, man. I know you, man. So now he went to another level. He started to become them. He cussed and sweared is what the Bible said. Man, you better get the, yeah, add the adjectives for yourself. I don't cuss no more, but you know, man, you almost like punking the person that he's not with them. Denial, right? But see, in the wilderness, which is when a cock crowed, he remembered what Jesus said, like, oh. So I guess there is something in me that needs to change. There's something I wasn't aware of, right? And then look at this in Proverbs 30. Just speaking of denial real quick. Let's run over there real quick. So in that wilderness, God is trying to purge that denial, deception, and desperation. When you cross, remember, you got the humility level, you got the proving level, but this is the awareness level. All this is for to make us aware, which when y'all see what God is really trying to do, it is really going to encourage you to embrace the test instead of running. Now, this is so interesting because we've experienced, we were talking about this yesterday when somebody said, like, if the woman had multiple men, they call hoes. But this was yesterday at the youth thing. But the guys are called players. Remember, we were talking about that? But look at this. Verse 20. It says, such is the way of the adulterous woman, right? Look, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I haven't done no wickedness. What? What'd I do? She's in denial, right? That person's in denial. There's a spirit in that person that doesn't see something. There's a blind spot, right? But see, okay, not so in the wilderness. You'll see the wilderness operates different. See, Jesus was an example. Jesus, this is Matthew, I believe, 3:29, where God came to Jesus after he was baptized. He said, the Holy Spirit fell on him like a dove. He said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Now, some of us would just be cool with that. God endorsed us, right, Terrence? God saying, you the man. Keep on reading. Right after that, they said the spirit that fell on him led him into the wilderness. So right after endorsement, wilderness came. See, now, how do we normally respond? If there's testing after endorsement, after we've gone through a lot, because Jesus had went through a lot up to that point, we're going, after all this I've been doing, God, I've been praying and reading and stuff like that, what's this? See, you think it's a punishment, but it's trying to humble you, get you. Look, remember, humbleness is what? Empty of you, empty of all self, right? You must decrease so he can increase, John 3:30. And then we said, meekness is what? So you're not self-seeking, right? So he's trying to take you through humility, prove you, right? Trying to make sure, so you would know. Test you so you would know. I learned this, so we went through different drills and stuff in college basketball, but then we would have scrimmages and different things like that where it was tested to see if it translated into a game. It's nice in practice, right? Practice, yeah, it's nice in practice, but we would be tested to see if it translated into a game, I'm on the court. If it doesn't translate to a game, that's nice. You look good in practice, but you're going to be sitting over here with me, right? Same thing in life. God saying, oh, no, I'm not putting you in the promised land, and all you do is, you just know what to do, but you're not going to apply it. No, you're over here with me. Yeah, you stay over here in the wilderness until you pass the test. All right, so keep that in mind. So the wilderness is a place of famine. It's a place of famine, or we can say a place of wanting. It's a place of wanting. It's a demand for miracles, or we could say the manifestation of God. Because in the wilderness, it places a demand, David, for them to get manna, something they had never experienced. They were fed by something, a level of nourishment they had never been exposed to. But would they even have got fed by that spiritual food if they had all they needed? So they were removed from familiar to get something that they had never experienced, right? You know, manna from heaven, quail from heaven, right? All right, so it's a demand for miracles. Remember I told you, look, their clothes, Terrence, didn't wax old. So you go through all those years, people growing up, their clothes, the Kamah said, their clothes grew with them. But you don't experience that miracle, which I think Sister Jackie was talking about how you're getting to know God for yourself. Like God is real for yourself when you get into the Word. Like you know God for you versus, so talk to me about God again. So Melissa, explain. Okay, good. So I got enough. I'm going to go ahead and do my thing. I feel a little funky. So that guy, you see, talk to me about him again, as opposed to me going to find out for myself. You did the parable of the virgins. The virgins that did right got to know God for themselves. The foolish virgins in Matthew 26, I believe it, right? 25, right? The foolish virgins is dependent on the relationship they have. And remember, I cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches of. You don't know Jesus for yourself. I'm just going on what Paul is doing, right? So when you get into the wilderness, it's a famine. It's a place of want where you need. The goal is to create a thirst for God. Because you can't depend on familiar, remember? The things you were used to. So, Sister Debbie, all I can depend on is God when I'm in the wilderness. All my conversations be with who? God. Right? But do you know how sometimes we get into the wilderness and we go, I don't have nobody to talk to? And I know God be sitting there going, man, I done got all the noise out the way. Well, all you could do is listen to me, and you talking about you ain't got nobody to talk to. What am I? Right? Because goal is he wants to train you where hearing him is your default. A friend of mine in New Jersey was asking. He said, man, can I ask you something? I've been wanting to ask you this for years. So we talk all the time. And he said, I notice you keep saying God told you. He was like, did God tell you? Like, how did he tell you? Was it an audible voice? Like, we sitting there, Keith, get your behind up and go to church, boy. was like that? Keith, now you know that ain't right. Go apologize to Melanie. You know you wrong with your prideful self. Now get on over there. Was it like that? Was it a voice in my head? Was it a guy flying over with a plane with a message from God in the clouds? How was it? And I was saying, like, I said, well, okay, so we talk all the time. I said, this particular person was my roommate in college, phenomenal basketball player. But he was, so it was loose. I'm talking about you, so when you see this video. All right, I said, Luce, like, we talk all the time, so we don't even really go, like, I don't call Luce up and go, and he goes, who is this? I just start a conversation. Why? Because we talk all the time. He hears my voice. We don't have to get deep into it, but we've talked about it here before. Like, even your phone, like, right now, phones are sweet. I remember when the Dragon software first came out, and you would speak, and sometimes we'd get the words wrong. Like, you could speak it, and it would type what you speak. And that's what they've infused into phones and stuff like that. But now, I say stuff, my notes type out exactly what I said. It's called voice recognition. 40 voice patterns, 26 syllables. A, B, C, D, F, G, all that. And it just, but after a while, it recognizes your voice. So it's the same thing. If you keep talking to God, you'll know his voice. That's why you got to get out all the noise. The ungodly counsel, the TVs, the radios, the fellas, the girls, all these other voices, the family. You know, you want to make sure your first voice you hear is God, right? And so the wilderness facilitates that, where you hear the voice. It's a place of famine. 1 Samuel says the word of God was precious in those days. You know what I mean? And another verse says there was no redemptive revelation. So when people heard the word of God, they said, whoa, 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 hey, shut up, man. God talking. Man, I ain't heard from God in 20 years. Right? So if a prophet came in town, shut down everything. They wasn't talking out in the hallway if God was talking. Why? Because it was precious. Because you know if you heard from God, something going to change. Right? And so God put you in a wilderness where you can consistently hear from him. Where his voice is your default. You can hear his voice in the midst of any voices once it becomes your default. Like, I know my wife's voice anywhere. I used to be at the old church, it's a packed house, but my wife's singing. I leave my office, I gotta go. I knew that voice anywhere. We'll be doing stuff in a store. Honey, all these people talking in the store. I was like, oh, that's my wife. What? Voice recognition. So the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be thirsting to hear from him, because I'm getting that thirst quenched. He said, my cup runneth over in Psalm 23. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look, I don't spend so much time with God, Sister Debbie. My cup is running over. Like, I got so much of God, I'm filled up with his fullness. Right? So that's what he wants to get us to, a point where the wilderness is a place of want, but he wants to get you to a place where you shall not want. And so in the wilderness, in the time of famine, see, we look at famine like oh my God. But we should be looking in the time of famine like, oh my God. like, whoa, this is an opportunity for me to get and receive and get fulfilled by God. See, Isaac understood that in Genesis 26, I believe it's 12. It says he sowed in a time of famine. See, most people choke in a time of famine. So as soon as there seems like there's less, they get tight and try to control. But Isaac has such a relationship with God. Oh, in the wilderness, that's the greatest time for me to sow. And it said he received 100-fold in that same year. Not when he got to heaven. Yeah, people waiting for their blessings in, you know, in heaven. No, it's a Genesis 26, this is the Bible. It says he received 100-fold, not 100 times. Since 100-fold, you know, you fold a $1 bill, once you fold it, it's 2. If you keep folding, see, it's exponential. It's not multiplication. It's the difference, right? Right? Does that make sense? 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6, right? But 2 to the 3rd power is what? There you go, 8. Yeah. I've seen some of y'all like, 3rd power. Dude, I stopped at the... I stopped at the fractions. Right? But so my bad, y'all. Exponential is different than multiplication, right? Alright, so here my wife had mentioned this the other day. So we said famine, we walking through something. So you're in the wilderness, there's a place of awareness, there's a place of famine where you want. There's a demand, there's a need for something, right? And Isaac understood how to operate in it. So here you have the prodigal son. You mentioned this the other day. So the prodigal son, let's look at Luke 15. Y'all can look at Luke 15, but for the sake of time, I'm going to read out of some different versions here, okay? But we will highlight verse 14. That's 15:14. We'll highlight verse 14, and then I'm going to read some of the other verses in the Amplified. I'm going to do the Amplified a lot today, all right? So verse 14. So most of y'all have heard the story of the prodigal son, you know, spent everything. All right. But verse 14, it says, look, when he had spent all, right? Spent all, right? It says, there arose a mighty famine in the land. So not only that you spent everything, now there's a famine. So there's not a lot of resources, right? It says, in that land, it says, and he begun, look, to be in want. To be in want. So he's in need, right? And he's desperate. One version said he forced himself on someone, almost like, come on, man, give me a job. Listen, I'll do anything. And the way he forced himself, he kept lowering his standards. So he kept compromising. When you're desperate, you'll lower your standards. You'll operate less than you deserve. You'll take less than you deserve. So he's like, tell you what, listen, I'll work with the pigs. And another version says he was actually asking for stuff. Ain't nobody give him nothing. He's begging. Now, so he's like, well, cool, you know, since I'm working with the pigs, I'll eat with the pigs. And then the scripture says that didn't even satisfy him. He was eating the pigs' food. Right? And this is a former heir to a kingdom. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? So you got this man. If you read through it, it said, "Give me my inheritance now," and he said he divided the inheritance and gave him what he wanted, and he spent it all because he didn't know how to handle the inheritance. He wasn't really ready for it, right? All right, so listen to this in Amplified Version. It says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me." So he divided the estate between them. A few days later, the young son gathered together everything that he had and traveled to a distant country. Right? It says, and there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to do without, look, and to be in need or in want. So he was needy and desperate, right? So here this guy had an inheritance, and he went from an inheritance to needy and desperate. And so, look, so it says, so he went and compromised himself on one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. I would do, just do, we ain't got no job for you, but tell you what, you can feed the pigs. All right? Now, his dad had a farm. And he would have gladly eaten the carob pods that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger. So, no one was giving him anything to him. But when he finally, came to his senses, the King James Version said, came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I am dying here of hunger? I'm going to get up, go to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up, came to his father. Stay here. Dealing with this computer. What was that? All right, so he got up, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly bring out the best robe for the guest of honor." He says, "Put it on him and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet, and bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was as good as dead and is alive again. He was lost and has been found." So they began to celebrate. See, the father received him differently because he came back with a different attitude. He came back willing to operate as a servant, but was received as a son. The heir is no differs nothing from a child. Difference, Galatians 4. It's our one of our foundational scriptures for the church. So, of course, this discusses a lot here. Just a little watering. Stay with us. Galatians 4:1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." So he's the heir, he's Lord of all. It means he has the potential to take over everything. But right now, verse 2, "But he's under tutors and governors to the point in time of the father." Right? So this son was underneath tutors and governors to the father's appointed time, but he wanted to skip his preparation and take his purpose early. But he wasn't ready for it. So the father used wisdom and said, "Okay, well, here you go, since you know what you're doing." But when he came back with the attitude that he should have had the whole time. The attitude of a servant, because he had the attitude of a servant, he was received as a son. You ready now. And that's why he celebrated. He missed him too, by the way, right? And so the thing is, in the wilderness, you may be in want, with the hope is that you'll quench that want or that thirst or that desperation with God. Nothing less than God. Because if you fill yourself, Ephesians 3:19, with the fullness of God, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that while he was in the wilderness being tested. right? Because he understood if I keep, like Sister Jackie was talking about this morning, if I keep this nourishment, if this is my default nourishment, the manna from heaven, the rhema from heaven, no matter what situation I'm in, I'm going to be filled up with the fullness of God. I'm going to be prepared for what he's purposed for me. Nothing God sends me I will not be able to handle because this is my default. But if my default is self, if my default is their understanding, if my default is the vices of this world, if God gives you all that you have, it'll crush you. Because what's your default? Your default is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life versus the love for God's word. See, those are the temptations are in three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They all come in those same categories, right? It doesn't change. So we've talked about that before, so I'm not going to get into it now. So here, Jesus was the example because after he was endorsed, he was led into the wilderness. Now, the interesting thing is go to Luke 14. Because we have to look at the wilderness as a benefit, not a curse or punishment. I said, Luke 14, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of, I'm sorry, Luke 4. I apologize. It's Luke 4. See, Robert, I had your stick in Luke 4. It's waiting on us. All right. It says, verse 1. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, because he had just fell on him like a dove, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This was after God said, this is my son, who I'm well pleased. Now, notice it say he was full of the Holy Spirit. Drop down to verse 14. Now, if you start to read through all that, turn the stone into bread. He's going through the test of the devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jump off a cliff and God will save you. You know, he passed all the tests, basically. So verse 14, after he passed all the tests, it says, and Jesus returned, look, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region round about. So he was famous after he went through passed the test. And you'll realize after he passed the test, he started doing all these miracles. But because he came out in the power. He went in because the Holy Spirit fell on him and he was full of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was in him. So here, I want you to see this. You have, when it was said he was full with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was is in me, right? When he came out in the power, the Holy Spirit is on me. So the Holy Spirit is basically baptized himself inside my vessel. So for the sake of time, we walk through it in the Holy Spirit class. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so I just come to the altar. Lord, take my life. All right, so I pray, confess in my mouth, Lord Jesus, believe God, raise him from the dead, I shall be saved. So now I experience the new birth. New birth is the regeneration of my spirit. Regenerized, reborn, born again. So the Holy Spirit comes, indwells in me, and connects with my spirit and makes me new, born again, right? So that's the new birth, right? And then I may go through baptism when I'm cleansed of the old man, right? But in the Bible, the disciples came and says, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believed? We haven't. It's Acts chapter 19. We haven't. We ain't know if there be any Holy Ghost. We went through John's baptism. John baptized in the wilderness in water, right? But the scriptures, Jesus said, for you even see or enter in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. John 3:3-5. He says, born again? I got to go back into my mother's womb? He said, no, come on, man. Get it. He says, you were born of water. That's when you was in your mother's womb. He was submerged in water and the water broke. He says, but you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. You got to be submerged in the Spirit, engulfed by the Spirit, for you even see and enter into the things of God, to operate in the power and authority of heaven on earth. Jesus said, he said, verily, verily. He was like, oh, no, 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 this is not an option. Right? And so in this particular experience, he's trying to show how to be born again. So now, so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Creator. That's the indwelling. But then the scripture says, when Acts chapter 19, it says, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believe? We ain't know. John, we went through John's baptism, that first baptism. He said, oh, no, 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 no. You got to be submerged or baptized, engulfed in the Holy Ghost. Right? So that's the infilling. You have the indwelling. So a lot of people, you know, old school Christians, the old school Christians, I said it on video so you get what I'm saying. All this baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues, man, listen, I ain't believing all that stuff. Man, I got the Spirit. They're not lying. They got the Spirit indwelled. So should it sit dormant? John 4 says that's like a well of water. It got to be drawn out, Jamal. There's some work there. It got to be drawn out. But Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. He says, this water I give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be like a river of living water springing up to everlasting life. Oh, that's a whole nother level now, see? So I'm filled up with his fullness. That's an infilling. So the what's indwelled in me starts to fill me up. You hear people say, man, I just feel full. I feel something on me. I don't know what it is, but something on me. So that's that Holy Spirit coming up and coming on you. That's the outpouring. So you have the Holy Spirit within. You have the Holy Spirit upon, and you have the Holy Spirit around. That's when the Spirit be moving in the surface. You're rocking in the surface. He's in Waynesboro. The Spirit just start moving. Everybody laid out all over the place. You know, it's a Baptist church, too. It's like, but it didn't make a difference. They was laid out, wasn't it? Right? When you came in service for Sunday after One Night with the King, he came up to the altar. He said, you couldn't tell me Pastor Keith will lay hands on me and I lose control of my body. Oh, that was the Spirit. That was the Holy Ghost hitting them. That was power. It wasn't enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of power, right? That's 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, right? And so in this wilderness experience, Jesus was indwelled, right? So he had that Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, but after he passed the test, see, the test, as Sister Jackie, you was talking about this morning, you said when you spend all that time in the Word, the Bible says you're cleansed through the Word, it strips you. It removes you. Ain't that what you said this morning? You said it removes you and people don't see you. They see God. And you said when you walk into the room, everything starts to change. You remember you saying that this morning? I heard you. Right? Right? Yeah, so you said you start to change the atmosphere. But you ain't changing the atmosphere. That power's on you, right? Right, so that's what happened with Jesus. He came out in power. So that's why every time there was a demand or a need for a miracle, he was operating in wilderness power. See, in the wilderness, there's a need for a miracle. So when somebody was sick, you in the wilderness? I got some power for that. Let me heal you. Oh, you guys hungry? You out here? Now, we can't send 15,000 people back to their house. They might die on the way. Man, sit them down, man. We feed them. we just pull on the power. See, right now, circumstances punk you. They intimidate you. You rolling, circumstance come up. Man, I was having a good day, man. It was a funky day now. Why? Because of circumstances? See, when you operate now, the wilderness power, circumstances are like, whoa, what's up? I remember we show up for games. And it looked like they had like 3 or 4 players. Man, I used to be so disappointed. Like, please let somebody come. I couldn't even get my warm up in because I'd be looking at the door like, somebody coming, right? No, we got to play. I ain't showing up for no forfeit. Oh, I showed up for, look, this is the championship. No, I showed up to, I want to do some things out here. Yeah, put a demand on me. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go. I was excited. Like, I just tell Kel, it's like, this is probably what we've been waiting for. Yeah, I used to watch us. I remember in Ohio, sometimes we'd be funky through the season. It's almost like, all right, it's a game, but it's not really a game. But then when something was on the line, be like, and we'd be having less people than we need, it was like, oh, no, this is what we were made for. Like, we would be excited. The other team would be looking like, they ain't got enough to deal with us. We got more than enough. If you was watching me, I'd be praying in the spirit the whole time. I just lay up line. I'd be filling myself up. Shit, I got that. Oh, I used to be just waiting. Like, I could be excited and be changed into another man. First Samuel 10:6. Like Saul, he's turned into another man when that spirit fell on him. Right? So anyway, Jesus was, he was changed. To now he's operating in power. That wilderness made him, again, you have to be aware that you need power. John 15:5, apart from him, you can do nothing. Right? But sometimes we operate like it don't take all that. We isolate ourselves and think our power and our might can get us what we need. We isolate ourselves. See, again, we'll spend more time in personal preference than in prophetic power. So it's just like, this is how I operate. And God bless your heart. If you're going to stay on that island, then by all means, operate that way. But how does that translate with the body you're supposed to be fitly joined with? How does that translate to the kingdom? Oh, we are families that heirs. How does that translate to the scriptures? Be planted in the house, you flourish in the Lord. Could you imagine, we got this harvest going on. Well, listen, picture this. We got this harvest, we planting, and one of the plants keep, every time we wake up, they all somewhere else. They off to the side. So we grab it, right? Put it back in, like, you ain't going to grow until you stay stuck, until you flourish. You ain't ready to do nothing yet. Matter of fact, you out there, somebody taking your fruit, you going to die. No, you need to, but if you stay planted, somebody taking your fruit, you going to produce much fruit. How does it translate? See, I thought about this when you was teaching, Sister Jackie. So when y'all got married, you had some personal preferences. Like, you was raised a certain way. You know, unorthodox, your way, right? But you had to adjust some things when you married him. Well, you didn't have to. You could have, like, yo, bruh, this how I roll. You want to be with me? This how you going to have to roll. Right? And that you would have done that. You probably, you know, we some appeasing dudes, right? So you could do that for a while, but it don't take long, right? After a while, you'd be like, I don't know if I can keep doing it. Then a woman be like, you're breaking brand new. No, you're not breaking brand new. You being you, right? So, but we adapt. We adjust, right? So we can harmonize. So is this just for marriage? What about church? You got to adapt and adjust. Yes, you got personal preference. I get that. I remember we got married. I was working in corrections, so I'm driving home. I said, let me go stop Burger King, get me something to eat. Holy Spirit said, no, let you go call Melanie and find out what the family wants to eat. I was like, wow, I never even thought about it. I hadn't had to do that before. I just want something to eat. Go get it. You got to change some things. Finances, I flowed finances the way I did. She flowed finances the way she did. But some things had to change. We came together, right? Right, baby? Right, okay, right. So you're adapting and you're adjusting, and so when you experience that power, God wants to use you to impact some life. So there's an indwelling, there's an infilling, but then there's an engulfing of the Spirit. Right, you must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. Right, so once you engulfed, now the Holy Spirit's imparts, or it fosters awareness. John 16:7. He'll show you things to come. Or 16:13. It's in there. Right? He'll show you things to come. So now now we're rolling together. Then I can show you the map for your life. No, you definitely don't want to go that way. Just keep going that way. Stay on this narrow path right here. And then you start making other decisions. Conviction kicks in. Go, whoa. No. You ain't even ready for that. Nah, but it's cool. I've done that before. Yeah, that's the problem. Stay over here. Right? He'll show you things to come. As the scripture says, you have an unction, a knowing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know all the things you are designed to fulfill. And when they show up, you go, oh, that's me right there. I'm supposed to do that. But nobody else is doing that. I ain't got nothing to do with nobody else is doing. All I know is there's a peace pushing me into doing this. This is my fit right here. But then there's also a conviction when you outside of that. I use me. I won't use y'all. Like, so I was talking to somebody about, I was talking to another guy I play basketball with. We just recently started having conversations, talking to all these people from New Jersey lately. And so we were talking, so I was walking them through my life. I said, you know what? So I was talking about when I how I stopped drinking and different things like that. I said, but you know what? Like I said, sometimes we do stuff and we're not being obedient. So I said, I was giving my life to the Lord. And the Lord told me this. No, I was talking to somebody else who I was lifting with. The Lord said, it's time for you to leave this job. But I had just, you know, I just worked myself up. I had these employees. I made my own schedule. Sometimes I worked 8 days, sometimes seven, because I was commuting back and forth from New York and New Jersey. And I was chilling. I was getting paid to work on my game. You know, I was pursuing professional basketball, so I got paid to work out. You know, we had Suicide Hill. I could run Suicide Hill. There was a weight room and a basketball court in the unit that I worked at. So late night when I worked the overtime shift that I scheduled myself for, while the kids were asleep, I could work out. My game went to a whole nother level. And God was like, I need you to leave. I was like this is what I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking to God. I just hit the override button. On the inside, you know, like you do, you just, that wasn't God. That was probably something else. Well, I lost that job. Oh, I'm sorry. I was terminated. Something fluke happened. And when it happened, awareness kicked in. Now, for some of y'all, maybe you don't want to be aware, but awareness kicked in. When that wilderness came, immediately I was like, you told me to leave the job. I should have just left. I could have transitioned out. Then as what's getting thrown out. You see what I'm saying? So that wilderness, he'll show you things to come. You'll get a knowing. You'll get an unction. See, God may, in this particular time, is one thing to be aware, but it's nothing to be obedient to aware. You talked about what? Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, right, Minister Jackie? You know, so there's a lot of times we listening, but we ain't applying it. So God can say who we are, but until we see who we are, we'll never fulfill God's design. So God can keep telling us over and over and over who we are. I remember talking to my son, and I was telling him, the Holy Spirit would tell him what he's going to be and what he's going to do. And one time, and I know some of y'all may think like this, but God bless his heart. I've shared this before, but my son was like, how do you know? Like, but you got to picture a teenager almost like, I'm going to have to sacrifice some fun to do what you're talking about. And I need some guarantee that, remember we were talking about the virgins? So you had the virgins that was looking at the ones taking care of business. Then you had the ones taking care of business was looking at those chilling. And I can guarantee you the ones taking care of business was like, they chilling. Am I wasting my time with this diligence and discipline stuff? And my son, he was like, how do you know? I just need to know how you know. So if I do this, it's going to be worth it. But I don't want to commit to this and can be messing up my fun. See, the thing is not enough that God knows or God's telling you. You got to see it and believe it. Because now you'll make decisions based on your awareness, based on what you see. See, the wilderness strips us down from the layers of perversion to reveal God's design purpose. So when you're in the wilderness, you're stripped down from all these layers of perversion. Means to be twisted. Take what God originally used for a purpose and twist it into something it wasn't used to do. Right? You know, so it's just like you have tobacco at its purest form, it will smell this whole room sweetly. Dry it and smoke it, you get cancer. You know, this is marijuana at its purest form helps your sight. Dry it up and smoke it, you'll have blind spots. Even though a lot of people won't tell you that, but I'm telling you, I smoked it. You know, I'm not in denial. Right? Actually, that's the other thing. You'll definitely be in denial if you're smoking weed. Quit! Like, what are you talking about? Nah, you know. One guy told me at the gym, he's like, I feel like I see better when I smoke. And know what I said? I said, you do. I said, before you smoke, you saw this whole room and this bottle was a part of the room. Once you start smoking that joint, man, crystal, like this is, you saw this clear, but it blinded you from the whole picture. All right, so that's a little weed lesson for y'all right now. Some of y'all need a little weed lesson. Back up off that weed. With Stephen A., stay off the weed, man. Right? So, all right, so The wilderness strips you down from all these layers of perversion, the cloudiness, and the lust. And it reveals God's design purpose, who you really are and whose you really are. And so when you're in the world, a lot of times when you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, the Bible says you're looking through a glass darkly. When you're in the world, you're not fulfilling purpose because of ignorance. So it might be cloaked. It might be in your blind spot because you're in the world. You know, we were born into this sinful world. But if you're in a wilderness stage and you're not being obedient and fulfilling purpose, that's not ignorance. That's negligence. Because it's in your face. It's right there in your face. So the only way you cannot do it is denial. Or delusion. Right? See, so now that's different. You get a pass when you've been born into the world and you haven't been exposed to some things. Because it's ignorance. I just didn't know. I could tell you, oh my God, if you just look at my life, be like, what is this idiot, stupid fool doing? I know God probably was like, oh, all right, just try not to laugh, but what in the world is he thinking? Now, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I ain't the only one. Some of y'all, he's saying that now. All right, but in the wilderness, it's negligence. It's flat out negligence. It's right in your face, and you, I don't know what we're thinking. So this is the thing. The wilderness is trying to waken you to why you're here. Why are you? We're talking God here. God is intentional. He tells us to walk circumspectly, redeem the time, maximize our moments, and be intentional. But he ain't going to do it. God breathes intentionality. Listen, Jesus died on a Passover. Not, is it the Passover? Jesus ain't had a... Look, the people that was persecuting him wasn't trying to line up with the Jewish holidays. But I might have to teach on the Jewish holy days again. Died on the Passover and was raised on the first fruit. And he is the first production of resurrection in our lives. He's before all of us got resurrected from that sinful world we was in. Now I'm assuming everybody was in, right? So God's that intentional. When I taught the class, I taught it for somebody in ministry school because they couldn't do it. I summed it up. I said, you know what? What I realized is God's intentional. It's a coincidence that we met? No. No, ain't no coincidence. Ain't no. You're going to see it more and more when you're aware of stuff. So what happens is you awaken to who you are. In particular, whose hero you are. God designed you to be a hero to somebody. Not just somebody, somebody's people. He designed God. The Bible says God set the members in the body as it pleased him. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He created you to be a hero. And you reduced yourself. I'm not going to say to not being that. I'll just say that. But I was thinking probably wasn't going to be nice. All right. So you have to ask yourself, if God designed you to be a hero, whose way are you paving? See, John was purpose. To pave the way for Jesus. Jesus paved the way for us. Who are you paving the way for? David paved the way for his son, Solomon. Like who? See, I can't believe they did that to me. Man, you better stop focusing on what happened to you and start doing things that's supposed to happen for others. That's, see, in the wilderness, you're aware of that. The hope is you're aware of that. Now it's negligence that you're just sitting around thinking about waiting for yours. Why aren't you... Listen, you at least have time. One of the things I really admired yesterday at the Air Force Youth Ministry, and I know when something's growing, sometimes people they process it differently. So there was more adults than youth. It was a lot. There was probably more adults for that than just about. I mean, there's probably more adults there than some of the. Remember we had the singles thing, four singles. There was more adults there than when we had the singles conference, right? And I thought it was exciting. Because you're going to start with, I mean, you think, they're going to hear about Jesus. Like, they ain't, like, you ain't wrong like that, you know. Mom, Dad, are we going to hear about Jesus today? So I can go back and tell all my high school friends who can't wait. You know, you got to guide them into that. But all those people that showed up, do you realize you were actually giving yourself to be those kids' heroes? Some of the stuff that y'all said, they ain't gonna never forget. You were that kid at one time. You're living off of philosophies you heard from someone. I still remember my health teacher said. I still remember the stuff my coach was saying, even though he probably don't know I was listening because I was a little bad guy. Right? So that's why you're in the wilderness, so you can be faithful to another man's. You esteem others better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things. You're so busy trying to focus on when your ministry gonna start. What vision are you helping come to pass? I've said this before, but think about it. Even if God gives you your vision, it's gonna involve people. Do you realize right now you're setting up the people that's gonna help you with your vision? How? You're gonna get a multiplication of how you are now with somebody else's vision. You're going to get a bunch of yous. If it's all about, I can't wait till I do my thing, or when I do my thing, oh no, I'm not giving that. I'm going to hold that back for when I do my thing. Everybody working for you be doing the same thing. Everybody. All right. Hey, don't take my word for it. Test it. I'm only 55 and I've tested it. So this is not theory. I've tested it. She will tell you, faithful, consistent, whatever I had, my best, something that's, I watch other people, I watch youth blow up on a forum, on a platform, based on something that they got, that the Lord used me to share. I was like, I watched somebody blow up and didn't even give me credit. Heard it the same morning. That afternoon, they had a venue, that person was breaking it down. I was like, you just heard it like earlier today. You couldn't even just say like when Minister Bradley was teaching this morning. But I said, hey, copyright in heaven. Fine. Just do it. Long as the kingdom is impacted. And I counted that as precious seed. I made that, listen, they start traveling everywhere. Fine. I gave precious seed. See, I trust God. All right, okay. So are you an instrument of God or a tool of the enemy? Oh, I got another way of saying that. Are you an instrument of God or a fool of the enemy? It's Ecclesiastes 9. Come on, work with me here just for a few extra minutes. All right? Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 18, it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroys much good. So a person operating in wisdom of God, you can have all the weapons in the world to war against that person. You can't do nothing with them. But look, it says, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One person outside the lines can affect everything that was built. So God wants to use us. I'm gonna give you three scriptures and then I'm gonna close out here. Philippians 4, 34 and 35. Philippians 4, 35 and 35, and then 2 Corinthians 8, 11 through 15. I'm gonna read that out of the Amplified. But in Philippians 4, you know, we've read this a lot, but I want us to look at it a different way and be patient. Don't I already know what that scripture says. I know what that means, and I don't know if I want to roll like that, or I got it. Just see it differently today, okay? And I might have gave you the wrong verses. Hold on a second. I sure did, didn't I? Is it Philippians 4? Philippians. Hold on. It's Acts. What am I doing? Sorry about that, y'all. It's Acts 4. Acts 4, 34 and 35. 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. So the great power. Remember we talked about Jesus operating in power. So they had passed their test and they were walking in power. It says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land, lands, that's an S here, right? Plural. Or houses, plural, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according to his need. The scripture says, and none lacked, right? All right, so now it says lands and houses. It doesn't mean that a person sold all his house and all his land. It says everybody had lands and houses. So what they did was, out of their surplus, they sold maybe a property or something like that, so everybody could, like, people wouldn't have to think about their needs. They can go ahead. See, again, in the wilderness, people are needy and desperate. No one will be desperate. No one will be needy. They can just go do the kingdom work, right? And so basically, what he had within that group of people, some unsung heroes, some people that he had designed and crafted to be there to impact others' lives. So it says, they may have gave one of the houses. Remember, the scripture says in Deuteronomy 8, you shall build goodly houses, right? When all you had has multiplied, in Deuteronomy 8. All right, so 2 Corinthians 8:14 in King James Version says, taking care of each other's wants. Look, 2 Corinthians 8. Let's go there real quick, and then we're going to close out with 2 Corinthians 8. Stay with me, because it's not about the people that are desperate because they're not passing their tests, and you just, like, they ain't doing their part. You just, remember we talked about the virgins earlier? Somebody not handling their business, but you going to give them your oil. Would you say Christians have to learn the word? No, right? Because with the 10 virgins, like, no, we keeping our oil. You could have done the same thing to get oil too. So we're not talking about those people. These are people that were handling their business together. These are people that were diligent, not people throwing around hints or, you know, if I could just, pay my car note today. We ain't talking about them people. We're talking about everybody that's kingdom work first, right? And this scripture is going to show you. Or these scriptures. So 8:14 says, it says, but an inequality that now at this time, there's so much here. 13, it says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. So you read through the whole thing for yourself, but he's talking about, if you give, I'm not saying I'm going to ease them. So that's why he's, let's say if you had a piece of land and you needed the land for your family and for everything your family need, he ain't telling you to ease them, but now you have a burden. Right? He says it right here, right? It's not my opinion. He says, but an equality. So he says, we're talking about, I want it to be a balance, that now at this time, your abundance may be a supply to their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be equality, right? All right, so listen to this, Amplified. It says, so now finish this, so that your eagerness in desiring to be equaled by your completion of it according to your ability. It says, for if the eagerness to give is there, it is acceptable according to what was what one has, not according to what one does not have. So it says, if you can't give what you don't have. So it's not saying create a burden just to prove that I care about other people. It's not saying that. All right, what did I say? It's not what one does. It says, for it is not intended that others may be relieved of their responsibility, and that you be burdened unfairly, but that there be equality in sharing the burden. At this present time, your surplus over necessities. Surplus is over. And if you establish a certain lifestyle, your necessities are different than other people. It's not comparing necessities. So if I establish a certain lifestyle, my necessities may be a $20,000 a month budget. After that, you know, then whatever is over and above, God may leave me to use. But it says over necessities is going to supply their needs, so that at some other time, their surplus may be given to supply your need, that there may be equality. It says, as it is written in the scripture, he who has gathered much did not have too much, and he that has gathered little did not lack. See, so in the wilderness, there's an awareness of God has sent me here. The scripture says, when he plants seed, there's when he plants fruit, there's seed in the fruit to keep replenishing. We talked about this, I think, in the inheritance test. I put you on the earth to be what? Fruitful, produce, multiply, and replenish. Right? So when you go through a wilderness test, God's like, man, all this time you were believing for something. And like Peter, you said, man, when I get here, God, you can really use me. God said, you there? Why can't I use you? Oh, what you want me to do is take what you have and put you in a better position. I had somebody say, well, man, you know, tithing or doing different things. You know what I got to tithe? And so the Lord was like, well, what I could do is I could reduce your overall income, and then that way you could tithe less. I have somebody close to me, and I explained to them, I said, okay, you're making 5 times as much as you made, and you were getting your bills taken care of with 5 times as much less. I said, now you're making 5 times as much more, and you're asking for help. I said, what's wrong with that picture? You were set up. You were trained how to work. Yeah, I've consulted with very well-off people, and one guy says, I live off of 17% of my income. And the rest, I just keep, you know, I have earnings and I use to be a philanthropist or whatever. But he's like, based on what my financial footprint was, it was cheese crackers. He said, so now 17%, listen, I do whatever I want with my 17%. Like, I have no need with 17%. I mean, nothing. I'm not going to say what everything is, even though I didn't say the name. But so God wants to use us to be unsung heroes. And so now that shifts what our everyday thinking is. I don't understand why this is happening. You don't? The wilderness is to make you aware. Make all of us aware, not you, us. It's to make us aware. Because we're so busy feeding ourselves, comforting ourselves, pitying ourselves, we're not fulfilling what we were purposed to do. But we're going, God, how come you ain't show up? God's going, all you do is think about you. If I show up anymore, you're just going to think about you even more. You got more options. I'm trying to take you to the next level so you can impact more people. It's all about people. I was talking to a guy, and he was telling me, he says, man, even when we were, I don't remember what I said to him. He says, but Keith, when they told me you was a reverend, he says, I wasn't surprised. Now, I told you there's a whole lot of people surprised. He said, because you used to always sit down and talk to us. I don't know what I was saying to him. We play basketball together. The last couple weeks, I've been talking to him pretty consistently. So you'll know who this is. And so I really reflected on that thing. I said, so there's a part of me that cared. I said, I don't know what I was saying because I couldn't tell you. I wasn't saying no scriptures. I know that. He says, but you will always take the time to talk to us. He says, so I wasn't surprised. Whatever you have. Remember, the scripture says they was given an offering, and the rich people gave, but they was like, I can spare this. It says the young lady gave two mites or whatever. It says she gave out of her want. She gave out of her, she sold in famine. She gave out of her want. So Jesus was like, now there you go. Now that's some great faith right there. That person still is connected and relying on me, still dependent on me for daily bread. They haven't separated themselves to me. It's like, I got this from here. I'll just be over here in my own little world. You know, this is cool. Long as this is fine. If I don't see them, out of sight, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, It's me and my four. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because people end up getting shocked into a wilderness. All because, like I did back when I had that cushy job, overriding what God is saying. So awareness is for you to be back in position so God can keep his river flowing. See, God's pouring out in all of our lives. Everyone, nobody here is exempt in all of our lives, and he's hoping that whatever he pours, freely it's been given to you. Matthew 10, freely you should give. But again, not to enable people, right? So it's take responsibility for somebody else's life. You can't do that. It said no. And not so you going, oh boy, we made that decision. I don't know if we're going to survive this week. Or what we've established may start to crumble. Not for that either. But are you doing what God is leading you to do? See, now, if I'm in that power, I'm being led of the Spirit. He's showing me things to come. He's showing me, oh, definitely impact that person's life. That person will impact your life forever. There's people that's impacting my life right now. I had no idea. I actually wasn't even thinking about them impacting my life. I was just trying to be there in their lives. And as we speak right now, they're having an impact in my life. I couldn't imagine it in a million years. Wasn't even thinking. I've got people call me and have been moved to do some things. I wasn't even thinking. I didn't know what. I wasn't going, okay, because they'll probably be doing this down the road. There's people out that was on the road to do this. This one particular person, they weren't on the road to doing nothing. They were just dealing with issues. And what they do in their life right now and the people that they impact, they've been moved to impact my life. Out of nowhere, just like they start watching videos or whatever out of nowhere. I could tell you like at least 35 different stories like that, but without knowing it. See, so God wants to use you to be a hero because he's trying to create heroes through you. All right, stand on your feet. That's all for the day. So that's the awareness part of the wilderness test. So remember, you have the humility, you have the proving, and you have the awareness.